much stay in practice, I was thinking about this. Bitch, on the news, yeah, they see about this. Even in the paper, they gon' read about this. Cause all of my life, training day and night, I'm preparing to fight for everyone, never leave. Crowds going insane, yeah, they screaming our name while we spraying champagne. Nothing nobody can say. The day
is the day that I have always dreamed of. Forever, when you call me, you call me the champ of the world. I can raise my hands, I can scream out the best in the world, whole world. All my blood, sweat, and grind was all for this time.
Hello, hello, hello. Yes, sir, yes, sir. You know what time it is. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the theme of this show and the show is the Master Plan. I am JT along. I'm joined by my co-host, cohort, main man on Fantasy, Rev Fantasy. And this is the Master Plan. And the number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Rev and me. We also have a chat room open. The chat room is for your convenience. If you'd like to ask a question, make a statement, or a comment about fantasy or anything, bring it on. What you bring is what you're going to get. I can tell you that. You come foul, you're going to get foul. I'm just keeping it real with you. But without further ado, let's get to it because there's a lot of things to talk about today. This is, for most people in fantasy, this is championship, Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday in fantasy for a lot of leagues, regardless if it's CBS, NFL.com, ESPN, Yahoo, or other websites that have their Super Bowls on this weekend. This is championship time. This is time you bring it. You bring it all. It's not the time to take a lot of chances. We're going to be talking about that. But without further ado, like I said before, let's bring in my fabulous co-host, Rev Fantasy. What's up, my man?
JT, what's going on, bro?
Oh, man, I'm pumped up.
Man.
Pumped up.
Hey.
Pumped up.
I'm pumped up too, man. Fantasy Championship Week, it don't get no better than this. Hey, it could be a good Christmas, or, hey, someone could be playing Scrooge, I guess.
Well, I don't know, man. I'm telling you, this time, this is like a banner year for me. I'm going for four Super Bowls today, and I'm in three semifinals, and hopefully I can carry that on to the leagues that carry their Super Bowl next weekend. I'm pumped up. I'm either going to get paid or get pounded, one or the other. It's going to be one or the other, paid or pounded. And I'm hoping I'm going to get paid. So,
I'm with you. I'm in that same boat. I'm in about four Super Bowls, and I'm hoping I don't get pounded also, brother. I'm trying to get that payday, chasing that championship. So I think
exactly.
Our viewers out there get the same.
All right, speaking of Santa Claus, speaking of gifts, I want to talk about something that I came across last night by surprise. Just like you get surprised on your birthday, you get surprised on your anniversary, you get surprised on Christmas. I got an early Christmas present, but before I do that, I got Mr. FSP, our founder, on the line, and I want to bring him in because I want to get him to hear this also. Welcome, Mr. Gardner.
Well, let's just say you both like getting pounded, you two little weirdos. But talk about your surprise, because I think Ricky gave you that gift. I think it was Ricky. I'm not sure, but I believe it was Ricky.
Well, let me tell you something, people. Let me tell you something. If you were listening to yesterday's show, a lot of it had to do, especially in fantasy, with a certain quarterback that took over the starting position from the Washington Redskins. I'm talking about Kirk Cousins. We were talking about who will replace a starting quarterback with Kirk Cousins with. And one of the quarterbacks was Drew Brees, and I think we talked about Tom Brady and some other quarterbacks. Well, last night, as I was perusing my fantasy teams, one of the leagues I'm in with Mr. Gardner, I'm in the semis, okay? And I'm rolling right now, and I really wasn't too comfortable with them, but there really wasn't anything that I thought was on the waiver wire worth any salt to be able to pick up. So lo and behold, I'm perusing. I'm looking at other players in other positions, and I just typed in quarterback. I clicked the quarterback position, and lo and behold, the quarterback that we were talking about yesterday on the show, the FSP show, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, sponsored by Mr. Gardner.
Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com. As a matter of fact, I'm calling in on Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com. Let me get that correct. Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com, where winners win and players play. We're sponsored by that show and the phone lines as well. Back to you.
Yes, yes. And Kirk Cousins was sitting on the waiver wire. And I'm saying to myself, I'm looking around, I'm looking in the chimney to see if Santa Claus was around, because I just got a gift, in my opinion, a gift that I needed, in my opinion, to up my quarterback position from Jason Campbell to Kirk Cousins. And I couldn't believe it. Now, this league, and Vic can attest to this, these guys are pretty astute fantasy football players. It's very tough. They don't have too many trades in this league, and if you trade, you really got to bring it. Otherwise, you won't be able to conclude a trade in this league. And competition is fierce, extremely fierce. Am I right about that, Mr. FSP?
Of course. Every
yes.
league that I create. Every league that I create.
You know.
I mean, I what? Invite people. I invite people like the Reverend, but, you know, the Reverend, you know, he puts his hand in the plate sometimes. We don't put it in there when it's time to play fantasy for money. That's all I got to say.
That's the question. That's all we want to hear.
Right. Anyway, what I'm saying is this. When I saw Kirk Cousins on the waiver wire, I couldn't believe it, because even if you weren't going to play him, especially anybody who was in the semis, in the playoffs, and I've done this before, I pick him up and put him on my roster to prevent any of my opponents to pick him up and use him against me. So when I saw him, I was extremely surprised and extremely happy to enter him into my moneymaker roster to hopefully get me to the money round, which is next week. So I just had to put that out that I was pretty excited when I first saw that. And I usually don't get excited, but I was like amazed that this late in the season somebody would do that. I think I'm destined to win this league and have Mr. FSP pay me.
I don't mind paying you. It's just waiting for you to pay me. That's the problem.
Oh, stop.
No,
it's only 5-0, and after this week, after I blow you away in the matchup we have, since it's double or nothing, I won't owe you anything. So we'll be even. And then we can go from there. So
he just held his paycheck.
Really? Really?
Don't hold mine. I need my dough.
Okay. All right, here we go. We got – this is week 16, people. Week 16 where, like I said, where a lot of people are in their fantasy Super Bowls, and the rest of them are either in their semis or playing for something. The first thing, before I go into the game, the first thing I should say, the second thing or whatever I should say is, even if you're not in the playoffs, you still have a matchup. Play it out. It's only fair to the rest of the people in your league that you play it out. In several leagues, that it makes a difference how you play the rest of these weeks out if you're not into the playoffs. For draft seeding for next year, like Mr. Vic does, he makes sure that everyone's relevant in the matchups from week to week, even if you're not in the playoffs, that you play it out, because that your draft position is going to be determined on how you play it out, whether you just sit there and let your team play and don't do it, make any adjustments. Then you're going to be on the lower part of the draft versus trying to get higher up in the draft. So it makes a difference, and it's only fair to the rest of your league members. With that being said, let's go to the first game. And this is ironic because I do have this one quarterback in one of my leagues, which I can't get anyone that I really want to put in there. And we're talking about the Dolphins versus the Bills. Quite naturally, E.J. Manuel is not going to play. Thad Lewis is going to take his spot as the starting quarterback. But Ryan Tannehill, who's been tearing it up, who's been absolutely tearing it up the last few weeks, is I wouldn't say a desperation play for me, but if you don't have anybody else, let me put it this way. You could play Ryan Tannehill in the quarterback two league if you got two quarterbacks, but I would temper my expectations for the simple reason Buffalo Bills play pretty well at home, and they've been averaging. Starting quarterbacks, I think, for the last 3 or 4 weeks have been averaging less than 20 fantasy points against the Buffalo Bills. And their secondary is not that shabby, especially at home, and they have a decent pass rush. And Tannehill is one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the league. But he's been playing lights out for the last few weeks. And he's proven he can play in inclement weather. So you can roll with Ryan Tannehill, but don't expect Drew Brees in the Silver Dome. Not Silver Dome. Don't expect Drew Brees in dome-like numbers. Let me put it that way. Lamar Miller, Daniel Thomas, good luck. You don't know who exactly is going to be the running back that's going to get the most points in that. The only way I would be able to use him is probably a running back three, and I'm talking about probably Lamar Miller versus Daniel Thomas, a weak flex. Charles Clay is probably the most solid fantasy number in here in the tight end, because Ryan Tannehill likes throwing to him along with Brian Hartline. Hartline's a good PPR guy. And Mike Wallace, he's just like one of those Forrest Gump type of players. Box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get with Mike Wallace. You don't know if he's going to give you 20 fantasy points or if he's going to get you two. He's a tough play for me, in my opinion. On the other side, you know, you can roll with both these guys, Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller, because both of them are probably going to be heavily involved, especially with Thad Lewis as the quarterback. They're going to try to run the ball quite a bit. Wide receivers over here, good luck. Rev, I'm going to hand that off to you, and you tell me what you think about this matchup.
Hey, all right, JT. Like you said, man, Ryan Tannehill's been killing it lately. And I see some sleeper potential today versus the Bills, so I like the matchup for him. Depending on the weather, hinder a little of that progress, but I do like the matchup. I also think things look better for Mike Wallace, Hartline, and Charles Clay against Buffalo's poor secondary. So I would say if you had to start all three, go ahead and start all three this week. The guys I'm kind of torn on is Lamar Miller and Daniel Thomas. If you would like to, some people say, you know, start Lamar Miller, but the way I look at it, you don't never know. It's kind of like the Bills running back situation. You don't never know who's going to get it for you. So that's a tough play for me, you know.
Yep.
And then on the flip side of things, we just talked about Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller. It seemed like Buffalo, they're definitely going to run the ball a lot today. And I think both these guys are worthy of a flex play for sure. But I think Fred Jackson will get more of the touches, and he's just more of a bruising kind of running back. And he'll get more of the touches, I think, and a bigger workload other than C.J. Spiller. Other than that, I like on defense, if you got to play a defensive player, I kind of like Chico Alfonso, the middle linebacker for rookie linebacker for the Bills. The guy's a tackling machine. He's just always been nicked up for the last couple weeks. So you're looking for some big numbers for tackling. The guy, he plays every down. He covers. He gets interceptions. Look for a sweeper guy on defense. That could be your guy. Other than that, I don't see other much fantasy impact. I'll hand it off to FSP.
Gentlemen.
Uh-oh, here we
this
go.
This is why I'm a guru. You're a reverend, a fantasy reverend, and you claim to be the master. See, the gold in this game are two players you guys did not even mention. They play for Buffalo.
Scott Chandler.
Cannon,
yeah.
The tight end, and Robert Wood. Those two guys, because Thad Lewis, you got to go back to when Miami played Buffalo before, and Thad Lewis lit him up. Who was the star of that game?
Robert Woods.
So I look for him to go back to them security blankets. Now, they say this is a trap game for Miami because, you know, they're coming off beating New England. And if they win and Baltimore loses, they lock up that last wild card spot. So they got a lot to play for in this game. So I don't care who the running back is. I think they're going to go with the short passing game, a lot of bubble screens, a lot of screens, slants, digs, nothing too deep because of the weather. It's going to be cold up there. It's not raining, but it's going to be bitterly cold in Buffalo. So if they go deep, it's going to be maybe once or twice because I don't think Tannehill's arm is strong enough to lift a heavy ball through that New York air. Other than that, Miami's defense should have a great, great day. And I'm going to give you a reason why Miami's offense is doing better. His name is Mike Pouncey. The center's back. So he's anchoring that offensive line, putting people where they need to be, doing what needs to be done. And even though the entire left side is gone and they've got replacements in there, Tannehill hasn't been sacked as much. So he's got the time to throw the ball. Now, I wouldn't say he's lighting it up, but I would say he's sufficient. So a player that I would say if you need a little help in your fantasy playoffs or in your fantasy Super Bowl, if you can find him and if you can put him on your roster, Chandler and Wood. The guru has
told me. You're telling me Ricky Incognito has bolstered at line?
Say again?
I thought that was Ricky Incognito that bolstered that line.
See, there you go. You know you Ricky Incognito.
Oh, my fault.
That's okay.
Let's keep on track today. I'm sorry.
It's all right. I'm going to bust you in the mouth.
Oh,
anyway,
boy.
The Reverend needs
to... I had to give a shout-out to Richie. He needs some love.
Don't invite that kind to this show. Don't invite that kind to this show.
Hey, the Reverend got to love everybody, man. Center.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right.
All sit around the campfire and sing Kumbaya. How's that? Anyway, let's move on to the next game. It's the Minnesota visiting the Cincinnati Bengals. AP. Excuse me? let me put it this way. I was going to say, I'll say it now. Good call on Mr. Matt Asiata, Mr. FSP. I'll say it. That was a good call. Okay.
Hey, JT, bro. Hey, I said it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He called the pick of the week, but how the heck do you call a guy 30 carries, 51 yards, and 3 TDs? 30 carries, 50.
Yeah, that's true.
Yards.
Yep.
But he's
yep.
going
you
want to
talk about a miracle?
Going against
that
Philly's
is a miracle.
Defense. Going against Philly's defense, that's all you need to know. Going against that weak defense.
All right, let's move on to this game. Like I said, Minnesota and Cincinnati. AP is supposed to be coming back. He's supposed to be playing again. I'm not expecting. I know Matt Castle is going to be the quarterback, but they're playing in Cincinnati, and it's going to be cold in Cincinnati. Dome team playing outside. I know this is Minnesota Vikings, but this is not the Minnesota Vikings back in the Bud Grant days. If you don't know who Bud Grant is, look him up. He used to be a coach of the Minnesota Vikings, and he used to play outside. Anyway, Greg Jennings, Cordell Patterson, Jerome Simpson. I'm going to have my temper my expectations because of the fact is they're playing a stiffer defense at home, which is the Cincinnati Bengals. And I don't think Matt Castle, as effective as he was against Philly in the Dome, is going to be that effective in Cincinnati. So the expectations of Greg Jennings and Cordell Patterson are going to be tempered. Quite naturally, they're going to try to run the ball, but Cincinnati is pretty tough. But that's AP. So if you have AP, who I have, you roll with him, and you hope that foot injury that he had doesn't crop up any time in the game. Let me put it that way. Quite naturally, when you need him most, he has a tendency in the past. I've had AP, and he's had a tendency in the past to torpedo my playoff aspirations or expectations. Let me put it that way. Getting back to Greg Jennings and Cordell Patterson, if you play these guys, they would be a flex to me. There's no way that I'm going to put them in a wide receiver one or two. Wide receiver three on the low side and a flex at best because I think they're going to have to not have too much success against Cincinnati in Cincinnati. On the other side, I know a few people are starting Andy Dalton. I think he's a real good start here for the simple fact is that Minnesota is horrible against the pass, and Andy Dalton plays very well when he's home. His difficulties arise when he's on the road, especially against a good defense. Well, he's not playing against a good defense this week, and he's home. So he should have a banner day today. They should be able to do whatever they want, whether they want to run the ball or pass the ball against this Minnesota defense, and they should have good success on both. So you play Andy Dalton, you play Giovanni Bernard, you play Jermaine Gresham, and you know what? I'm not going to hog it all. Rev, talk to me.
Hey, Jake. And this matchup, I mean, great call, like we said last week. By FSP, great call. But it looks like AP will get all the carries this week, so we don't have to worry about praising FSP next week. Thank God. with that being said, of course, Adrian Peterson, he's going to get the bulk of the carries today. So he definitely RB1 play for you. If you're in a deep league, consider Cordell Patterson as a flex option at best. On the flip side of things, definitely have Andy Dalton. Start Andy Dalton, like you said. That secondary is horrendous for Minnesota. Even though when Nick Foles, they picked him off like two, three times, still threw for 400 yards. So I still like the matchup. A.J. Green, I don't know where he's been for the last couple weeks, but I think today could be his, with the playoffs on the line, this better be his beckoning call coming out party today. He's been on cruise control for a couple weeks now, and it'd be his day where he comes out. Even a guy like Marvin Jones, this could, if A.J. Green isn't stepping up, it seems that Andy Dalton's kind of formed a relationship with Marvin Jones, especially in the red zone. So they'd even give him a look. I really look at two guys that I like the matchup for them today is Giovanni Bernard at RB2 and BJE, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis I like him because he's the red zone guy. So I would start him in a flex play also. Besides that, I think Cincinnati defense, I think they're gonna come out hard today. Matt Castle, in the cold, typically, he's prone to turnovers. I think today could be that day where he tried to press a little too much in the passing game. And in those weather conditions in Cincinnati, in the cold, I think today could be that day where you could get a couple turnovers on Matt Castle. Other than that, I don't see anything else. I'll hand it off to FSP.
Well. If it isn't what the cat dragged in. All right. Greg Jennings had two straight games being a star. Matt Castle found him on several plays and boosted him back up. So what that tells me is that Jerome Simpson will probably start to get a little bit more looks as far as single coverage goes. He's a sleeper guy that you can pick up. John Carlson, I believe, comes back this week, even though it really doesn't matter, because they're going to run AP. But when they run AP, that means Vontaze Buford, Ray Moniluga, and my boy who got the concussion from former Pittsburgh Steeler guy, Harrison, if he plays, they're going to have a heavy workload today. So I don't look for a lot of high-powered offense out of Minnesota. On the flip side, Minnesota just lost another cornerback. So they already have a porous secondary. I look for Andy Dalton and everyone to have a great game. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, he's only played Minnesota once. One time he played him 17 rushes, 115 yards, and two touchdowns. Will that happen again today? I think you might see a little bit of both Ben Jarvis Green Ellis as well as Giovanni Bernard having a good game. I like the Marvin Jones thing that the Rev said, but I don't think they're going to be throwing that much. So I look for Tyler Eifert and Mr. Green to get in the end zone on the passing side, unless it's Giovanni Bernard catching a screen or something like that. So I would caution you and pick up Marvin Jones. Then, again, if you're looking at Minnesota, Cordarrelle Patterson is the only one that makes a difference because the punt game. They just had to go get a punter because their last punter, who's also the kickoff guy, got a broken jaw and a cracked vertebrae in his neck from a peelback block that he received versus Pittsburgh. So the special teams will be a big part of this game. Other than that, I don't have any major plays for you in this game.
All right, let's move on to the next game, which would be the playoff seeding aspirations in this one also, which would be the Colts at the Kansas City Chiefs, where it's going to be bitter cold in Kansas City. And this is a prime game for the Kansas City Chiefs. On the side of Indianapolis Colts, I guess the one play that I would definitely say to play, and it's with tempered expectations because he hasn't been playing that well on road, and he hasn't been playing that well since he's lost his blankie, which is Reggie Wayne. I'm talking about Andrew Luck. I know that they've been trying to substitute that with Kobe Fleener, and hopefully T.Y. Hilton steps up. It's going to be tough. The Dome team playing outside against a pretty solid defense. And let me put it this way. The offense is not too shabby. I'm talking about Kansas City. They've scored 41, 35, 45, and 56 in the last few weeks. So this offense has been rolling quite naturally. My man, I have to say that this guy has exceeded any of my expectations when I first called him out a few years back. talking about Jamaal Charles. He should have a pretty good day today. I should say a very good day today against a pretty weak run defense and in Indianapolis Colts. You know what? I'm not going to hog all the names. I said a few. I'm going to pass it off to my other co-host, Rev.
Okay. JT, like you said, man, Andrew Luck, he's had an uneven finish to the season, and there's little reason to think that today is going to be any better. I would definitely sit him if you have a better matchup, quarterback matchup. Donald Brown has some sleeper appeal because of KC's run defense, which my man Houston, he's still out. Their run defense has been, fairly proportionate in the last month. So if you're pressed to play someone, Donald Brown could be that one guy on the offensive side for Indianapolis who you could give a play to. Also, we're talking about T.Y. Hilton. Yeah, he's back this week, and I would definitely sit him. Kobe Pointer, oh, my God. This guy has been killing me. He stepped in big for me in a lot of matchups. Last week, the guy pulled a zero spot for me, and it ain't going to be any better today. So if you got Kobe Pointer on your team, you might want to go have him take a seat on the bench really quick, right next to Andrew Luck. On the flip side of things, Alex Smith. Hopefully, Alex Smith has been playing great ball. I've been in a lot of fantasy leagues. I had him as my third quarterback. And this guy's been putting over 20 points for the last couple weeks.
Yep.
I think Alex Smith will come back to earth this week. Temper your expectations of what you could get from him. I think with this kind of game, I think it solely falls on one guy, on KC, and that's Jamaal Charles. Of course, Jamaal Charles, he's a blue chipper. He's the Jesus Shuttlesworth of fantasy. He's money. Shout out to Jesus Shuttlesworth. So if you got, say, one person today, I think in this matchup, if you got these guys' defense, if you got some of the guys on defense, if you're in these leagues that carry defensive positions, Derek Johnson, it would be a nice play for you today. And I think the field goal kickers really will have a big say in this game from a fantasy aspect. Both kickers are expected to pull big numbers. So I say if you got Adam Vinatieri or Ryan Skrudrup, I think both of them are going to prime and get you double-digit numbers today. I'll hand it off to FSB.
What game are we talking about again?
We're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, about that. I'm gonna have to come into work.
Are we keeping you up or what?
No, I'm sorry. You're doing things on your timeline here, champ.
I was doing my what's that one when the dude comes in to the office and he's the office manager. He's like, about that.
Oh yeah, office
I'm
space.
I'm gonna need you to work. Yeah, office space. Yeah, there you go. It's like that. Check this out. This is gonna be the boringest game ever because these guys are gonna end up playing each other in about a week or so, so they're not gonna be showing too much. So don't expect too much. You can expect a heavy run game. What I mean by that is Trent Richardson is going to get his man. Trent Richardson, I'm telling you all right now, I know Donald Brown is a starter, but Trent Richardson, he's going to step in, and he's going to be a power running back against this Kansas City defense. Now, Kansas City defense is pretty good, but they're going to end up having to be in a shootout, just like they did with San Diego, except it's going to be because of the running attack. Chris Houston is not back from the elbow injury, so that means Derek Johnson is going to be making a lot of tackles. Tomba Ali is going to be trying to tackle the running backs as well as getting to Andrew Luck. I don't like the receivers here in San Diego. I mean, in Indianapolis. That's why I think they're going to be a very run-based team today. It's going to be very vanilla. Also, I'm going to mention the fact that I told you guys last week, don't play Kobe Flynn. Just don't do it. I would not play any wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts right now. No way, no how. They're going to lean heavily on the run. Flip side of that, you might even see Jerry's BFF, Niles Davis, come in to preserve Jamal Charles's legs for the playoff game they're going to have in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
So you might even think about that. On the opposite side, I like Donnie Avery. I really like Donnie Avery in this game, not Dwayne Bowe. Dwayne Bowe could do well, but I like Donnie Avery in this game because he's going against his old team, and he's a deep threat. Special teams will be a big play in here, too. Dexter McCluster. So, again, it's going to be a very vanilla game, a lot of ground and pound type of football. So you can either play your defenses, but I would definitely play Donald Brown and or Trent Richardson in this game.
Just a quick heads up here for people who have Jamal Charles and they carry their championships to the next week, which is week 17, the last week. Depending on how things shake out with Kansas City going into week 17, there's a possibility, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there's a possibility, and this can be with just a lot of stud running backs that are involved in, depending on how their team shakes out in week 17, their playoff status. If they don't have to start their starting running backs, their backups are going to get a heavy dose. So if you have Jamal Charles, hopefully you've handcuffed him throughout the year, or recently handcuffed them. But if you haven't, it would behoove you to do it because to be on the safe side. If you're going into week 17 and you have Jamal Charles and you wind up in week 17 and they say they're going to sit him to preserve him for the first week of the playoffs, then you're sitting there holding your you-know-what because someone else snapped up Niles Davis. So you should have Niles Davis on your roster by now. And just sitting there, which I have in all my leagues. So that's just a heads up, not just for this particular scenario, meaning Jamal Charles is back up Niles Davis. I'm talking about any of your stud running backs. All right, let's move on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are going to visit the St. Louis Rams, who absolutely destroyed the New Orleans Saints, and I expect them to do the same thing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mike Glennon, no, you're not playing him. Bobby Rainey, I would definitely play Bobby Rainey as a flex option. He seems like he's going to be very effective regardless of who he runs up against. He's run up against very good defenses and has played well. So I would definitely put Bobby Rainey in a flex. Tim Wright, believe it or not, St. Louis is pretty well, a pretty good defense against the tight end. So I temper my expectations on how Tim Wright's going to gain any points in here. He's a low end tight end too, in my opinion. You definitely play Vincent Jackson. I like Vincent Jackson, even though I said don't play Mike Glennon. Vincent Jackson is the number one receiver, and he's got the skills to pick up the points. He's definitely a wide receiver, too, in my opinion here. On the other side, I'm going to hand it off to Mr. Rev Fantasy.
Hey, JT. Like I said, you nailed the coffin down on this one. Yeah, definitely Mike Glennon. I think this game, if the Bucs try to get into that throwing mode, which they seem to get, or to what they fall behind, I think that St. Louis pass rush will be licking their chops. So a guy like Robert Quinn will be all over him on, like, white on rice. So I agree with you. Sit Mike Glennon this week. Bobby Rainey, kind of intriguing for me. I think they're, even though that a defense for the the Rams, it's been nasty lately, and it definitely showed us something last week against the Saints. I think Bobby Rain is worth a flex play here because I think they're going to give him his touches. So I think that could produce something for you.
Yep.
The guy, like you said, Vincent Jackson, he's a number one receiver. You gotta play him. You don't have a choice. So I don't like the matchup, but you have to play him. You know, you just have to. And then on the flip side of things, we've been talking about this guy, JT, for the last couple of weeks, and let me tell you, he hasn't disappointed other than maybe 1 week, and that's my man, the rookie, Zach Stacy. I think Zach Stacy this week is going to do some big things. Since week five, only one person's touched the ball more than Zach Stacy, and that's Eddie Lacy for the pack. So you know he's going to get his touches. You know it. I think the upside for him to get a big payday is there today too. And I'm going to go with the Rams. I like the Rams defense today. The way those guys been playing, they showed me something against Drew Brees. And I think this is another team that likes to get back and throw the ball, and I think that doesn't pan well for the Bucs. So you need a sleeper team defense-wise. I like the Rams. And individually on the Rams, of course, D-line, Robert Quinn, Chris Long's even worth looking at in this if you need a D-lineman. And then Laurinaitis, of course, he's a tackling machine. I think he can have a big day today tackling. And besides that, I'll hand it off to FSP.
All right, boys. A couple things here. I don't like St. Louis's chances at all in this game. I think it's going to be a blowout. I think Kellen Clemens is going to have to throw the ball a lot, which is going to translate into a lot of picks or a lot of hits for Mark Barron and that Tampa Bay defense. On the flip side, I like Bobby Rainey to go over 150 yards and maybe one touchdown in this game because that front seven of St. Louis is a beast. But once you get past that, and I think Bobby Rainey's got the speed to get to the outside on this defense, they can't tackle and they can't catch anybody. So if they can get Bobby Rainey on the outside or pass that first seven, he's golden. A guy that I've been touting all year, Robert Quinn. He's second in the league in sacks, and he's a defensive tackle. So that tells you what type of animal he is. I believe the last time a defensive tackle was in a top two or top three in sacks was when Warren Sapp was playing, and that's been a while. I like that on that side. I know that my guy, the receiver we were just talking about for Tampa Bay,
Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, he's listed as probable, but him against that cornerback, that's money all day. Money all day. I think Tampa Bay is going to blow out St. Louis, and I don't think it's going to be close. I'm going to go that route. And, again, a player, get Mr. Wright. Play Mr. Wright. Tight end for Tampa
Bay. In this matchup, St. Louis is pretty stiff against the tight ends, and I know Wright, Tim Wright is athletic tight end, but he may have some tough way to go in that dome in St. Louis. So I got a caller on here, and I think it's Santa Claus, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm gonna bring him in and see if he is indeed Santa Claus or one of his little elves. Welcome, Rick Slick. Slick Rick. How you doing, my man?
Ho, I hate you, but good damn game. That's all I can tell you. It's always expected. How y'all fellas doing this morning?
All right.
What's going on, Rick?
I'm better than all of y'all.
Oh, God. This is coming from a guy out of the playoffs. I don't want to hear him.
Oh, I know you ain't talking.
Yes.
I know you ain't talking about being out of the playoffs. Hey,
I'm in. I'm still in the playoffs, Vic.
Hey,
come on.
Am I. So I'm
dependent.
I'm still in the playoffs.
I can't look. Vic, if you're not playing for fun, it's no fun. So I can't sit here and say anything about it, okay?
Exactly. That's all that is. Because Jerk just eliminated you in one league. So, you know, whatever.
Whatever. I'm defending a championship right now. Are you doing that?
Yes, no. I am, actually. Yes,
no,
I am.
Not.
Well, Rick,
go ahead,
Rick, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Last night, and I don't know if he was listening to the early part of the show. Last night, I was perusing our Yahoo League, Rick's Yahoo League, and I come across the Christmas gift I couldn't believe was sitting on the waiver wire, and Vic happened to tell me he thinks you're the one that happened to dump my Christmas gift on the waiver wire.
Was it Kirk Cousins?
Yes.
I didn't dump him. I thought that you picked him up though. But I didn't dump him. When I saw you picked him up, I said, okay, one, they're gonna give this man a quarterback to play and do his thing, or two, somebody's out of the playoff. And I think it's the number two, because I don't know, I didn't dump him. You know, I have three quarterbacks,
okay,
and Alex Smith, Russell Wilson, who I ran with most of the year. And the third quarterback, I've just been flipping around. But right now it's, I want to say it's Fitzpatrick that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure. But I didn't dump Kirk Cousins, so I don't know who did that. But, I'm hoping he gives you good numbers, because I am playing him in the league that I'm running. So I'm hoping that he does give you good numbers, because that means I'll get good numbers.
Yeah, I mean that to me, that's, I had Jason Campbell and I wasn't really happy rolling with him going into the second round of the playoffs, and I got Kirk Cousins. I wouldn't say pretty psyched. I'm a little psyched about that because of the fact that,
yeah.
I mean, that's how and I was explaining to Rev and Vic how this late in the season, especially in the playoffs, that Kirk Cousins could still be sitting on the waiver wire was beyond me, but. I was happy, if not elated, to pick him up and put him on my starting team going into the semi-match. So
it is what it is. I had him at one point, but I didn't. It wasn't the past weekend. Matt Flynn is the other quarterback that I got on my roster with Smith and Russell Wilson. But
okay.
I had him earlier, and, you know, that was when Robert Griffin had first got benched, and then I was like, okay, it's about his time. And then they put Robert back in there for the Kansas City game, and I would like to get it. I think somebody, I'm going to do good with the two that I got. And see, Alex Smith, he's been playing out of his mind as usual. And
sure.
Russell's just decent. He's going to give you just enough. So the rest of your roster has to be tight for Russell to really stand out like that.
Yep. All right, let's move on to, speaking of the quarterback I put on the bench to play Kirk Cousins, the Cleveland Browns versus the New York Jets in New York. Jason Campbell has been playing very well. He's been playing very well over the last few weeks, but I benched him in favor of Kirk Cousins. But in my opinion, if you don't have any alternative, I wouldn't mind rolling with Jason Campbell, because the Jets are absolutely horrible in the passing game. And I can see them getting torched, especially with Josh Gordon, who's my beast, who I talked about earlier in the year. And I thought he'd be good, but I didn't think he would be this damn good. So you got to love Josh Gordon in this game. I mean, he's got to be licking his chops. Can't wait to get on the field against this Jet secondary and eat him up. I like Josh Gordon a lot in this game. Like Jason Campbell in this game. The elements will not bother him. He's used to playing in this type of weather, whether it was in Washington, whether it was in Cleveland over the past few weeks. So playing in MetLife Stadium with inclement weather is no problem. I like on the other side of the ball. Let me put it this way. And I also like the Cleveland defense against this Jet offense. I know the Jets play better at home, but that quarterback, he's got a lot of turnovers. And I can see a couple turnovers coming against this defense of Cleveland. Rev.
Hey, JT, you said it right, man. Hey, it's one person in this whole game. We're not talking about no one on the Jets side. We're talking about Josh Gordon. Like you said, he's got to be licking his chops today. I can see this guy going for 250 today again, you know, against the secondary. And, you know, Jordan Cameron, I don't like the matchup. So, yeah, I was going to say, I just didn't like the matchup regardless. And like you said, sitting Jason Campbell is a smart thing. The odds are Jets defense pretty stout for the most part. It's just when you get if you can withhold that pass rush, Josh Gordon doesn't need a lot of time. You know, get the ball off of Josh Gordon. If I'm the Jets, I'm doubling Josh Gordon every play. I'm just giving some free advice to the Jets defense. So all that if you need a coach, you know, Jets, okay. And then secondly, the guy he's been a pain in my butt too this year is Chris Ivy. I don't like the matchup this week for Chris Ivy. Plus, some of this, he's been losing some of his thunder lately to Bilal Powell. So, regardless, I think, like you said, that Cleveland defense, they're Jekyll and Hyde, like we talked about for the last couple of weeks. And last couple of weeks, they've been getting torched for like 20, 30, 40 points a game. I think this could be the week. Hey, when you need some help, you're feeling a little sick, the doctor prescribes Geno Smith. So that's what the way I see it. You know, if you're down on your luck and you're defensively you're feeling bad about yourself, Geno Smith's coming. I think he's going to cure all the remedies for Cleveland's defense. So I could see a couple of pick sixes in this game with JoJo Hayden and them boys back there licking their chops for Geno Smith. What do you got for us, FSP?
Well, young men, I want to first say that Ricky is calling in on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com.
Thank you, Mr.
You're welcome. Where winners win and players play. Go there today and load up your card and play. But in this matchup, Ed Reed lashed out at the New York media recently about the criticism of the Jets organization and his teammates. Ed Reed has not performed up to Ed Reed-like standards since he joined the Jets about a month ago. And, you know, being that safety net hasn't really materialized. Geno Smith has regressed, even though, you know, he's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type player. You've got some weapons. You got San Antonio Holmes. You've got that other kid. I can't remember his name, the other wide receiver.
Jeremy Curley?
Stephen Hill? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jeremy Curley's hot, Geno wins. I mean, Geno has a good game. So I'm thinking if you want to take a chance, which I don't know why you would, but if you wanted to take a chance, getting Jeremy Curley, and because he gets a lot of targets. He gets a lot of targets, even though the ball's high, the ball's low, the ball's left, the ball's right, whatever the case may be, that might be somebody you look at. I don't like the Jets at all. At all. I know they're Jerry's number two team for me, number one team, but it's the Jerry curse. He went to Houston, look what happened. He was at the Jets, it's still going on.
God.
Exactly. So I don't know exactly what to think of this other thing. Stay away from fantasy land all day in this game. Just stay away. I mean, Josh Gordon, yes, I got it. But other than him, I like Jordan Cameron, but
he's out.
For some reason he has. Well,
he's out.
Okay, well, there you go. And Chris Adignani, I don't think he's going to be able to run the ball. And neither is that young kid they picked up
Tucker, I think his name is.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the list they got him off. You know, your reserve list, your scout team. Yeah,
yes.
He runs pretty good. I don't think they're going to do well here. So
So, again, the only people I would look at in this game, honestly, is Gordon and Curry. Honestly, I'm not even looking at Powell. I'm not looking at Chris Ivory because Cleveland's defense isn't that bad. But Geno Smith is. So, you know, you take your chances on that. But I like Gordon and Curry in this game.
Ricky, you got any more for that?
I really don't care who wins this game, but
okay.
I will disagree with both of y'all as far as Chris Ivory, just because, yeah, Cleveland has a good defense, but they've given up 500-yard games this year, and they've only held, what, three opponents to under 50 yards as far as the running game goes. So it's not like Chris Ivory can't run on them. And Chris Ivory has been, he's been decent. He's been a surprise play for the Jets. And they've run more and more this year. So I'm going to say that he's going to definitely have a way to get through those holes, especially with a change of pace back there like Bilal Powell. As far as their passing game, it's trash. Like we said last week and the week before and any other week up until now, Geno Smith is who everybody thought he was. That's why he went so low in the draft. He's not a great decision maker when it comes down to it. He's had all the turnovers, and, I mean, his wide receivers haven't given him any help, be it that they have been injured also, but even when they're out there, you know, they haven't given him any help, but he just doesn't make any good decisions. So everything stacks up great for Cleveland, truthfully. Jason Campbell, I think this is going to be his time to so that he can actually go back to being a starter. For who, I don't know, because it won't be Cleveland. Cleveland's going to go out there and they're going to dangle Josh Gordon in a lot of teams' faces just to get what they want. But he's going to have a great game against this secondary, especially because B. Milliner is not even going to be out there. So,
all right, let's move on to the nation's capital. The nation's capital. We've talked about this team or player over the last 2 days. We've talked about the other team over the last three days, Thursday, Saturday, and today. I'm talking about the Cowboys versus the Redskins in D.C. Anyway, in my opinion, this is going to be wow. This can go one of two ways. I know that the Cowboys have been pounded about running the ball when they were effective running the ball. They went the other way and started passing it. There's a recent report today that if the coaching staff, including Jason Garrett, don't make the playoffs, that they'll be fired at the end of the season. In my opinion, before I go there, we've got about a minute and a half before we go into overtime. We're going to go to overtime. We're going to cover every game. I want to thank those for listening. Tune in next week, week 17. We'll still be talking about fantasy football, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Tune in on Thursday, FSP Cruise Show, where I will be hosting along with Rick and Black. On Friday, 1 o'clock, will be the No Chaser with Mac as the co-host. I am as the Mac is the host. I'm the co-host, and also on 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Saturday, Mr. FSP, Vic Gardner as the host. I am the co-host. And then back again, like I said, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Sunday, be the master plan with I am the host of this show, along with my esteemed co-host, Rev Fantasy. All right, we're going to be going into overtime in about 30 seconds. Like I said, I want to thank you all for listening. Catch us catch the whole program, if you like, on any archives. And with that being said, let's go to Dallas versus Redskins. Tony Romo is a definite play here. I think he's going to be, unfortunately, for some Dallas fans, they'll be cringing every time he loads up and throws. But he's going to be throwing a ball. They're going to be throwing a ball in here. But I think they're going to follow the same formula that they also with their running DeMarco Murray. I think the anytime he runs the ball more, they have a tendency to come out with wins. I don't know what's going to take for Jason Garrett and the offensive coordinator to get it through their brain that they need to run the ball more and to take the ball out of Tony Romo's hands. But I feel they're going to be running the ball on this Washington Redskins defense, and he's definitely a good play, meaning DeMarco Murray. You got to play. I'm just going to go on the Dallas side, and then I'll give Ref Fantasy the Redskins or whoever else wants to jump in there. Tony Romo is a definite play here. DeMarco Murray is a definite running back play here. You play Jason Witten. He's definitely a tight end one here. And Dez Bryant. He comes with fire every week, and he's going to come with fire against the Washington Redskins, a division rival with a lot on the line. And a lot to prove with these Dallas Cowboys from a devastating loss. They're going to come up, fire it up, and try to put up a lot of points in this game. Rev, talk to me.
Hey, team, fellas. Hey. Yeah. From a fantasy aspect, man, everybody on this panel needs to be licking their chops. Our listeners, this is going to be like the fantasy Super Bowl right here because everybody's going to get paid off this game, right? So starting with on the Washington side, yeah, we talked about this guy, Kirk Cousins. I'm starting him this week in my championship week by default because I don't have another option. So I'm praying that the fancy gods give me a payday. And I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid and say Kirk Cousins has a good game today. I think Pierre Garçon, that guy's defense is terrible. Let's just say it. There's no qualms about it. So everybody on Washington, there's no reason why a guy like Pierre Garçon, a guy like Alfred Morris, a guy like Logan Paulson or Fred Davis can't have a big week for you. So look at all those names. They should all pull you double digits. On the Dallas side of things, it's the same thing. Washington's defense is terrible. So there's no reason why Washington shouldn't stick to the game plan like they had it at the first quarter of last week's game. Give the ball to DeMarco Murray and keep running the ball. Don't stop. The guy had 8 carries for 74 yards in the first quarter. The guy touched the ball 5 times the rest of the game. I don't understand it. Jason Garrett does need to get fired if they lose this game. If DeMarco Murray doesn't have double digits in carries. Guys like Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, all trying for big games today. But it's got to start with DeMarco Murray. It has to. It has to start with him. Get the monkey off of Tony Romo's back in real life, because when pressure's on, the guy, it's just the football gods. Even if it's not his fault, it will go wrong. You know what I mean? And I feel bad for the dude because he does put up big numbers every time he steps on the field. It just happens to be in real time when if it can go bad, Murphy's Law, it runs with him. If it can go bad, it will go bad. So look for DeMarco Murray. Hopefully the lessons learned from last week, this guy gets, you know, he could get 200 yards today. I easy if they ran him 20, 30 times, if they gave him a normal workload like a normal running back. But it stands to be to see if they'll do that. So with that being said, I'll hand it off to FSP.
Vic? Oh, we lost Vic. No, we didn't. Vic, you there? Vic?
Yes, Vic.
I'm sorry, I had you on mute. My fault.
Oh.
I was playing Candy Crush. So anyway.
Oh, come on.
So anyway, look for the bookend brothers. That would be Brian Arakpo and Mr. Kerrigan to meet Mr. Romo. Now, the problem I see in this game is this. It's not Jason Garrett. It's Bill Callahan. If Bill Callahan rushes Marco Murray 10, 15 times in the first half and only rushes him 3 times in the second half, that's not Jason Garrett's fault. You know,
sure it is. He's the head coach. He's the head coach. He tells him, run the ball.
I know. Listen to me.
I'm listening.
Just like when Bill Callahan called a run play for the last play of Dallas' offensive game call and Romo checked out of it to a pass that he ultimately threw as an interception, that's not Garrett's fault. The run play was called. The alert was a pass play. Tony Romo read the defense wrong. He threw it thinking that the kid was going to keep going, but the kid did what he's supposed to do. He sat down in the zone. So you cannot blame them. You can't blame Garrett on that. Now, I am not an apologist for the Dallas Cowboys. I hope the Redskins kill them. It's going to be raining cats and dogs. It currently is right now. Ricky can attest to that. He's right there in the city. Fantasy-wise in this game, like the Reverend said, this is your fantasy gold game. This is where you want to get all your players for your money. Jason Witten. If you're looking for a tight end that might do something, Logan Paulison might do something in this game because Josh Reed is out. Fred Davis. He only had one pass last week that he caught, and it was a touchdown, but he had four targets. Okay? Alfred Morris, he should get the ball. This should be a PPR-heavy type of game with Alfred Morris catching and running the ball, DeMarco Murray catching and running the ball, Dez Bryant trying to get off on D'Angelo Williams, then Terrence Williams will show up. on the opposite side, you got Pierre Garçon. Last week he had a 100 and some change and a touchdown, I believe. I don't like Eldrick Robinson, but they like throwing him the ball, so whatever. But this game is a smorgasbord of fantasy goodness. On the defensive side, I already mentioned Kerrigan and Arakpo. Leonard Fletcher's last home game here until he retires, because I thought he's going to retire. And Perry Riley, very, very good players on the defensive side. On the defensive side of the Cowboys, I don't like nobody. And I mean nobody. Last time they played Jason Hatcher, he had a monster game. He had a monster game going up the middle and just destroying our interior line. But I don't see the Cowboys defense doing much in this game. So, again, play
Slick
for
Rick.
Everybody that can.
Right. Slick Rick, you got anything for this game, Redskins and the Cowboys?
I'm a Skins fan, y'all know it, but I really hope they lose. Because
oh boy.
This is the way that the season has went all year. It's sad. I hope that Garrett gets fired. I hope Shanahan keeps his job. I'm against the curve on everything in this game. But DeMarco is really the only player I'm looking at because the Redskins have really their run defense has been the only thing that's looked decent for the season. So I really don't think that DeMarco Murray is going to do as much as everybody says, even though both of these have trash for defense. Romo, he's just a bomb waiting to blow up in the making. I mean, he's going to mess around and do something in this game, of course, that everybody sees is that's it, they're done. I mean, y'all hit everything on fantasy notes, so it's not too much else.
Okay. Let's move on to a big division, another division rivalry. This has got huge playoff implications in the NFC. Going down to North Carolina with the Carolina Panthers hosting their division rival and 10-4 along with the Panthers, New Orleans Saints. This came up. The New Orleans Saints, including Drew Brees, don't play well on the road. Now, since they don't do that, and if you have an alternative like Kirk Cousins, would you play Kirk Cousins over Drew Brees in your fantasy Super Bowl? I say no. Drew Brees brought you to the fantasy Super Bowl. You roll with Drew Brees. I still think he's going to throw for over 300 yards and a couple touchdowns, at least 250. And a couple touchdowns in this game. So you roll, in my opinion, there's no two ways about it. You roll with Drew Brees. And with that being said, he's got to throw it to somebody. And that somebody is Jimmy Graham and Marcus Colston. Jimmy Graham's the tight end one. Marcus Colston is a wide receiver two, in my opinion, in this game. The way he's been balling out, And the implications of what happens in this game, whether they win or lose, these guys are going to bring it and bring it hard because of the fact they know what's going on. If they wanted to win a division, they have to do it in the Carolina for the most part. Otherwise, those two guys, three guys, I should say, Drew Brees Jimmy Graham and Marco Coulson. I'm going to pass it off with the opportunity to Rev Fantasy to fill in the blanks of anything else that he wants to put in on either side of either New Orleans or Carolina. Rev.
Hey, JP, you hit it, man. Again, we talk about this. You got to stick with your money players, man, and I'm rolling with Drew Brees. Like I said yesterday on the show, on off day, 250 and two TDs against Carolina for sure. So I'm sticking with him. On the flip, we talked about on their offense, he's got to throw it to somebody. And that last time these two teams met, that was Marcus Colston. Marcus Colston, the last 2 weeks now, has had 13 targets per game, including 2 weeks ago when they played the Panthers. He had 9 receptions for 125 yards and 2 TDs. I look for that to continue today. I think Marcus Colston, he started the season, about the first 6 to 8 weeks of the season, he was very poor, and he's come on the last, 4 weeks. He's come on a lot. And I look for that momentum to carry because Jimmy Graham is such a threat. So I still like your primetime players, Jimmy Graham, play him. You don't have a choice. Marcus Colston, play him. Drew Brees, play him. On the flip side of things, you got to play Cam. I don't know if his passing numbers might be there today, but I think his running numbers will be there. I don't like D'Angelo Williams in this matchup. I just ain't a big D'Angelo Williams fan. I think Cam's going to steal those carries. So, but like we talked about, my man Luke Crickney, or how do we say his name? I always struggle to say his name. I'm not like, I told you, usually if I can't pronounce a name, I don't start him, but I'll make an exception in this case, JT. So, my man Luke at linebacker, I think he can have double-digit numbers today in tackles just because when they do run and he covers well in space. So I think this is a game where he's going to be put out maybe matched up on some tight ends. I don't particularly like the matchup against Jimmy Graham, but I think they'll have to roll over some safety help, which will allow for him to get double-digit tackles today. Besides that, from a fantasy aspect, that's all I have. I'll hand it off to FSP.
Okay. We're talking about what game again?
We're talking about New Orleans Saints and Carolina Panthers.
Now, this is what I wanted to say. Mr. Stevens, we had the flicker on yesterday, a.k.a. Sean Leak, because this was his question that he posed on his Facebook page. And the issue was, given your situation, if you have the opportunity to play for your Super Bowl with either Drew Brees, who has a tough matchup, or Kirk Cousins, who has a somewhat easier matchup, would you take it?
Yep.
So the question that we brought up was that, and I was the only one that supported Sean, because Jerry even talked himself into it, and he didn't even realize it, because he said he would sit Tom Brady. Now, again, Tom Brady, in my opinion, has more weapons right now than Drew Brees does. So, again, I'm looking at, yes, Marcus Colston, yes, Jimmy Graham, no running game whatsoever, none, no reliable second receiver whatsoever, none. So when you look at Cam Newton, he has D'Angelo, he has Mike Tolbert, he has Steve Smith. Brandon LaFell is a so-so player, so I'm not going to give him that. He's also got Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen didn't get off in the last game. He got a touchdown in the last game. But I think Greg Olsen is going to be a bigger part of this game. So Greg Olsen is that sleeper guy that I'm telling people to go get, because I'm quite sure he's still not on somebody's lineup. And, again, last time Drew Brees faced a highly ranked defense was when he played Seattle in similar weather. He threw for 167 yards and 1 touchdown and 3 interceptions. I don't think this is a good game to play Drew Brees. This is just my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. You can always go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com. Look at the point spread. look at the point spread. The point spread shows that Carolina's favorite in this game. And, yes,
That means Drew might be throwing a lot, but that also means Drew might have more interceptions. I'm telling you, I take my chances with Kirk Cousins in the rain in D.C. versus a piss-poor defense versus Drew Brees right now, even though I rode him all the way here, just like I rode Tom Brady, but Jerry said I'd find somebody else other than Tom Brady, so why wouldn't we do the same with Drew Brees? That's all I got on this one.
Well, I'm probably going to go with Kirk Cousins in that, just because, like you said, Drew Brees isn't great on the road. It seems like he does different things when he's on the road than when he's at home. I don't know why. Tom Brady is the only sure shot that I would go with on a weekly basis just because he's Brady. He's proven it. He can do it everywhere. He can do it in the rain, in the snow, in the hail, in the hurricane. It doesn't matter. He can do it away from home, at home. Brees, if it's between Brees and Cousins, because of the matchup, I got to go with Cousins, because Cousins is like, he's more of a short shot to me when it comes down to it. Brees is almost like we put the label on Brees like Peyton. They can't play outside or can't play away from home, but Peyton is kind of getting away from that just because of the 2 years out there in Denver. Brees started out outside, and I guess that's why he got traded to a team with a dome so he could play better. But in any instance, as far as the game goes, I really am going with Carolina in this, because I think that they're just overall going to be the stronger team today. I do like D'Angelo Williams in this matchup. I haven't liked him all year, but I had him on a couple of fantasy teams that I had, and he surprised me, especially with that run he had. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago where he bust off for like 74 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He surprised this year. Huh?
It was a pass. It was a screen.
So either way, you know, D'Angelo still, he hasn't shown that breakout like that since when him and Jonathan Stewart were actually doing the timeshare. You know what I'm saying? So he still surprised me. I'm thinking he's going to have a good game today. And Carolina should squeak with this win. I think they're actually going to win by 10 points over the Saints. This is their time right now. They just have an overall great team. Kupley, he's running that defense like Beeson did when Beeson was first there. So I'm really looking for Carolina to do their thing tonight.
All right, let's move on to the next game. This is really not it doesn't have any really implications in the playoffs, but it's one of the games that are playing today. We're talking about Tennessee at the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you have Ryan Fitzpatrick, I would play him in this game. If you have a better alternative, quite naturally, I wouldn't play Ryan Fitzpatrick. But if you have if he's your best alternative, I couldn't hate you for playing him against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Even though Jacksonville plays better at home and they have been playing better defense, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick, the way he's been playing, is a decent play here, especially in a two-quarterback league. I like Chris Johnson in this game, and I also like Delanie Walker, and also like Kendall Wright. Kendall Wright's probably a flex. Delanie Walker, in my opinion, is a tight end one in this game, and Chris Johnson is probably a running back, low-end running back one, two in this game. Because, like I said, Jacksonville has been playing better. Rev Fantasy.
All right. Yeah, I mean, like you said, this game, it really has no implications as far as football goes. From a fantasy standpoint, though, you're right. Who is it? Is it the running back? Is MJD out this week, or is he still questionable?
That's still up in the air. I think it's a game time decision, if I'm not mistaken.
Troutman.
Jordan Todman, yes.
Yeah, coming off a big game last week, where he put up some big numbers. This game is Chris Johnson has played, you know, fairly down the stretch. So, yeah, like you said, RB2 in this game. I really like Delaney Walker in this game. I like him. I lost Jordan Reed in a couple of weeks, so I needed a spot starter. And I'm rolling with Delaney Walker for the rest of the year. And I think really, honestly, in this game, both defenses could have decent days. I think the potential for turnovers are going to be there for both sides. So I think if you get the Jags defense, even though I don't trust them, I think the turnovers could be there because Ryan Fitzpatrick threw for 400 yards last week. Mm-hmm. But if he's winging it for 400, if he's throwing it that for 400 yards, that means he's winging it a good 30, 40 times a game. And that doesn't bear well for Tennessee. So, like I said, I like the defenses in this. And besides that, I'll turn it over to FSP.
Jacksonville and Tennessee. Listen, Tobin was jury's call last week. He didn't get in the end zone, but he did have 100 and some yards. He has a very quick burst. He is the future of that franchise if MJD decides to walk or he's allowed to walk at the end of this year.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I texted you last week. I like this kid next week. Next year. If MJD is not there, watch this guy to break out next year.
I think they're going to trick him.
I agree with the jury on that one. As far as the receiving core of Jacksonville goes, I believe the kid's name is Ace Sanders, or it's something
Sanders. Ace Sanders.
Yeah. This kid, he surprisingly has stepped up in Cecil Short's absence. Also, the fact that Justin Blackmon, Mr. Weedhead himself, is not there. So I think that might be a good play in this game because Tennessee secondary isn't as good as it was at the beginning of the year. I think Mike Munchak is on the hot seat, and he might be fired at the end of the season. But Todd is a good play here. I like Ace Sanders as well. On the other side, Chris Johnson, Jacksonville's defense isn't that bad. Paul plus Lesney is going to get plenty of tackles in this game if they try to run the ball. But I like Mr. Wright. I like Kendall Wright. Nate Washington, not so much, but they got that other kid. It's another receiver. It's not Williams. It's another receiver that they got there in Tennessee that I like, but I can't think of his name right now.
Who Justin Hunter?
Justin Hunter.
Not Hunter. It's not Hunter. Is it Hunter? I'm not sure.
Justin Hunter is a rookie.
Okay. Well, yeah. Then that must be the kid then. But I like their weapons, especially if they're going to let Fitzpatrick throw the ball. But other than that, I'm steering clear of this game. Delaney Walker had a good game last week. I was wrong on that. I thought he was going to have minimal yards, but a lot of targets. But he got a touchdown and yards, so I was wrong on that. Other than that, I have nothing for this game.
Rick?
Well, on the note of Fitzpatrick, all those yards he did get, basically came in that fourth quarter because he did have to bring Arizona back. I mean, he had to bring Tennessee back. Arizona was kind of handling them up until that point. Reason why I didn't put him in the game. But as far as them today, this should be a no-brainer for Tennessee, but this is Tennessee we're talking about. I don't really think that Chris Johnson is going to do that bad. He should have truthfully, he should have his best game this year against Jacksonville. Bob Lesney is going to be the one chasing him around the field all day. I still think Tennessee lose this game just because the lack of talent that they have. I do like the rookie that you all talked about as far as the receiver for Tennessee. I like him. But Jacksonville's been, they've been playing upbeat. They've really been playing football. So I think that they can actually pull this out. Jordan Tomlin, he does look like a great back. I don't think he's going to be their man next year. But he looks like a back that can definitely play in this league. That's about it, really. This game is kind of irrelevant almost.
Okay, let's move on. Well, it's not irrelevant in fantasy, so all these
not
games
fantasy,
count from one way or another. They count in fantasy. Let's move on to the Denver Broncos against my Houston Texans, who this week interviewed one coach already, Lovie Smith, to be their next head coach. I got to put that out there. Anyway, Peyton Manning is a no-brainer. They've been splitting. Now, let me put it this way. You play no Sean Marino as a RB1, okay? But you can also play Monte Ball as a flex because they've been getting Monte Ball quite a bit of running here, especially near the goal line. So, in the passing game. So, Monte Ball, along with Sean Marino, both these guys have been heavily involved in the offense. And more, Monte Ball has been getting about the equal amount of touches as Sean Marino, whether it's in the run or pass game. You play Julius Thomas. You play Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker. All these guys, Demaryius Thomas is a wide receiver one. Julius Thomas is the tight end one. Eric Decker, in my opinion, is a wide receiver three and a viable flex option in this game. I see the Houston Texans putting up an early fight, and then when they get punched in the mouth, just like a lot of these teams that are on the negative side of a winning record, they pack it in and wait to, you know, can't wait to the game is over and the season is over. So you play Dennis Johnson because I think the Denver Broncos can be run on, and Andre Johnson. Otherwise than that, Rev Fantasy, talk to me.
Okay, like we talked about this game, I think this is going to be Denver's offense is going to just simply overwhelm these guys, and it's going to be over early.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely play the blue chippers. You go with all four of the receivers. I'll include Julius Thomas in there as a receiver. You know the tight end. You play all those guys. Even though Wes Walker's out, my fault. But Peyton Manning should have a big day today. You were right. You stole my guy that I kind of like as a sleeper this week, and that's Moneyball. Monte Ball has been getting a lot more touches over the last 3 weeks, and I don't know if it's just they're trying to work him into the offense or if they're just trying to preserve Sean Marino for the playoffs a little bit, and I think it's a little both. But I do like Monte Ball as a flex play. So he could be a wild card this week. I think it could be there for him because playing in Houston, the looks are going to be there. So the odds are in his favor. I like it. On the flip side of things, yeah, no Casey Keenum, no Ben Tate. What's that mean? I think that means no Andre Johnson this week. I mean, Matt Schaub, you already know he's Mr. Pick Six, so I look for that to continue. Dennis Johnson could be a nice spot starter if you need someone at a flex or an RB2. I think Dennis Johnson will just he's going to get the number of carries because, one, they don't have no one else to run the ball. Two, I think this is going to be over really quick, so they're just going to have to pack it in and just have to run it, and I think he can get that in garbage time. So I think a lot of his numbers might come in garbage time. But I like Denver's defense in this one. Even though Denver's defense, it leaks like a sieve, it bends, sometimes it breaks. It's hard for me not to like the matchup against Matt Schaub. Matt Schaub is garbage, simply put. The guy, he's washed up. Could be starting somewhere else next year, maybe like the Oakland Raiders or something, but he is a pick six waiting to happen every time he throws the ball because he doesn't throw it with any zip. So when you start lofting the ball out there and you got help over the top on Andre Johnson, I think it's easier to get some of these picks that they're going to be looking at. So call me crazy, but I like Denver's defense. Besides that, I'll hand it off to FST.
Denver is a city where they come from, so rhyme right. Now listen up, ladies and gentlemen. This is a game where Peyton Manning might be done by the third quarter, if not halftime. If he gets his four touchdowns and he breaks Tom Brady's record, he is done for the game. I'm just going to tell you that right now. And there's a good chance that he'll have that before the end of the first half. Fantasy-wise, that's good for you. But next week, if you're in a championship in week 17, because some of the leagues have gone this way, I'm proud to say I'm a pioneer in this area, taking the full NFL season and making it fantasy football, you might be short. You might be short because Peyton may or may not play a lot next week. Why would he play? If they wrap up the number one seed, if he breaks the record, he'll get it. He might not get Drew Brees' record, but he'll get the touchdown record in this game, I think. Other than that, Matt Schaub is going to he's going to show out. He's going to throw the ball because he's fighting for a job. So if you need somebody desperately, go with Matt Schaub. I like the kid Johnson because he shows some flash as well. The running back, that is. He shows some flash, but will he be able to move the line? That's the thing. I know Denver's front seven isn't that good, but Matt Schaub's there, and it's not going to look good either way, running or passing the ball. But you still got to play Andre Johnson. He's a little nicked up, but you still got to play him. Graham, I would not play Graham only because Matt Schaub is the quarterback. It was Case Keenum, I would probably play him. Other than that, play the usual suspects on Denver and hope they're not done. Oh, Caldwell. Play Caldwell.
Andre Caldwell, yeah, I'm sorry. You're absolutely right.
Play Caldwell because Wes isn't playing. And Caldwell got a lot of targets last game, and he got a touchdown. I'm telling you, that's going to be the secret. He's your secret. And Thomas, the tight end, he's been quiet lately. So I look for him to have a big game as well. I'm done.
Rick.
Yeah, I'll hit it all. There's no reason. Denver.
Okay. No problem. Let's move on to the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks. You know what? This is a sneaky play on my part. And he's probably just a flex play, but I like this kid. And I think even though we're going up against Seattle, he's still been able to eke out points even against tough defenses. And I'm talking about Andre Ellington. If you're hurting for a running back, especially in a PPR, he can definitely be a viable flex play for you in this game. I don't see that Arizona is going to do a whole lot, against the Seattle Seahawks, especially in Seattle. But I do like Andre Ellington and Larry Fitz coming off a concussion is very suspect. But he's Larry Fitzgerald. I just would say that once you put him in the lineup, you would have to temper expectations. If you don't have any better options, you definitely got to roll with him. Carson Palmer is going to try to get the ball to him, but this is Seattle in Seattle. So just understand what you're running up against. Rev Fantasy.
Hey, JT. I'm with you on this one. Carson Palmer's been balling out this year, but I think his hot streak ends today, along with their playoff aspirations. Seattle, they're trying to wrap up that number one seed in the division today, and that defense is going to be out there hitting hard. I don't like none of the matchups on Arizona's side. I don't like Rashard Mendenhall, Andre Ellington. The Seattle defense is just way too stingy at home. Russell Wilson, he's just been good enough all season long, and I think that'll be the case today. He'll do just what it takes. It might not be pretty from a fantasy aspect, but he'll do what it takes. I really don't like Marshawn Beast Mode in this game either. I just don't think the yards are going to be there for him today. But there's one guy I do like the matchup with, and it's kind of a going out on a limb, but it's Doug Baldwin. I look for Doug Baldwin. He's a big receiver. He gets down the field, and I don't think he's going to be matched up on Patrick Patterson all the time. So I think the potential for him to do something today is big. And history shows in the last three matchups with these guys at Arizona, Doug Baldwin has been a killer. So I look for Doug Baldwin in Seattle to come through today. And I look for that Seattle defense, if you're always going to start them, to have a big day, because I think Carson Palmer is going to be winging it. And the potential for turnovers to be there. I'll hand it off to FSP.
All right. I'm excited because I just looked and Twitter has made me $20 a share, so I'm very happy about that. Speaking of, you know, companies making money, there's a company called Microsoft up in that great northwest in the Seattle area, and you don't do too well when you go up there, when you're a football team. So therefore, I'm looking at Seattle doing well. Now, I agree that there's going to be a wide receiver from Seattle doing well, but I think it's going to be Curse. I think Curse is the guy that's going to have the big game here. Now, Arizona, I told everybody in the summertime they would get 8 wins. They've gotten 9, and they might lose this game. But I also told everybody at the end of the season, San Fran and Arizona will play to see who gets that final wild card spot, or playoff spot, and it's coming true. So I'm looking for Arizona to not do well in this game. I think Curse is going to do well, and next week sets up the game that I told everybody Arizona's going to win in, and Arizona's going to beat the 49ers next week. I'm done.
I really just want to see who wins. A lot of people think that Arizona can pull this off. I think they can, truthfully, because it's a division game. And, you know, those division games, they go against each other harder than going against the rest of the NFL. So, Seattle may win, but I think Arizona really does have a chance to pull it off. Rev took my sleeper, which was Doug Baldwin. I'm really looking at him to sneak it in because he's had a touchdown, I think, the past 3 weeks. So he's looking. He's definitely somebody that Russell Wilson loves to throw the ball to, and I think he can get open, especially with the fact that there's no Tyrann Mathieu.
Okay. Let's move on to the next one, which would be another team that has playoff aspirations that desperately needs to get back on the winning track. I'm talking about the New York Giants at the Detroit Lions, and specifically talking about the Detroit Lions because they're the ones that are in the playoff hunt, definitely not the New York Giants. I don't like any player on the New York Giants, for the simple fact is, let me put it this way. The only player that I would possibly think would have a viable opportunity to do a little bit would probably be the tight end. Not the tight end. Reuben Randle, the wide receiver who's going to take the spot of Victor Cruz. I think he had a rapport with Eli Manning before Victor Cruz got hurt. Now he's going to have a bigger role in the offense. So I like Reuben Randle in here. I'm going to give the opportunity Ref Fantasy to expound on what he likes in Detroit. Talk to me. And we lost Vic.
Yeah. I'm kind of like you, bro. I don't really like nothing on the Giants side. I don't like Andre Brown's matchup. I don't like Victor Cruz is out for the rest of the year. If there's one guy I'd have to say, yeah, it'd be Reuben Randle, but I just don't like him in this game. On the flip side of things, you know, Matthew Stafford's been kind of choking lately. He hasn't been putting up big numbers. But this could be a good game for him because I think that the Giants, defensively, they're playing pretty stout, but I think offensively they're playing horrible. So when you go 3-and-out and you put that defense on the field for long periods of time, I think it's only going to play to Detroit's advantage, and I'm hoping this is a bounce-back game for Matt Stafford. Even though the experts say, you know, it's probably not, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is a big game where he comes through. I like Calvin Johnson's matchup, of course, and I like Reggie Bush. And then what's the backup running back for Detroit? Tatum.
Drake Bell.
Is it Tatum?
Yeah, Drake Bell.
Drake Bell. In the pass game, he's a factor because on screenplays, he's a threat to break it. The guy's really fast, and he's been getting a lot of touches lately. He's been almost splitting some of the the carries also with Reggie Bush being banged up. But Detroit has no choice to go for broke. Their playoff aspirations are going down the toilet, and they can't afford to lose today. I look for Detroit to come out and play massive today and put up some big numbers offensively. That's all I have from a fantasy aspect. I'll hand off to Ricky.
I really look for Detroit to lose just because that's Detroit. That's just Detroit, man. I don't know why. I mean, nothing looks good in this game for the Giants at all except for Coach Coughlin. That's it. But they can't – they're not supposed to win. The Giants are not supposed to win. But at the same time, Detroit just – they've looked like trash for the past, what, 3 weeks? They've had their division locked up and can't finish the job. I was looking for them to lose the game. Only one I need to do something is Calvin. That's it. Calvin. I just had a little report I saw not too long ago about how Stafford is, I think they said, like, just not a clutch quarterback. Something I was reading. I got to go find that article again. But it's Detroit just, other than Calvin, I'm really looking for them to lose this game. And Mr. Schwartz, he'll get fired. And I'm on that. If you ever looked at NFL Network, NFL.com, and saw the world of Dave Damashek and how he just messes everything up and tells you from his perspective, that's where I'm at right now. I can tell you my perspective of everything's going to happen in the league next year, but it's from a Dave Damashek point of view, and it's just so funny. But that's
okay.
It.
All right, let's move on to a game that I think there's some pretty decent fantasy goodness in here too. Also, we'll talk about Pittsburgh visiting the Green Bay Packers. Two cold weather teams and one quarterback who's won two Super Bowls who definitely knows how to play in the cold, who I'm riding in one of my leagues into the Super Bowl. Hopefully he helps me bring a championship to that one squad. I'm talking about Ben Roethlisberger. I love Ben Roethlisberger in this game. I think he's going to have a very good game today, along with one of my best backs that I think is going to be an extremely sought after and good back next year, Le'Veon Bell. I definitely play him. I think these two guys, along with Antonio Brown, are going to have huge days today against that Green Bay defense. On the other side, I think Green Bay is going to be wanting to run the ball a lot, especially with the call of snow in Green Bay. With Eddie Lacy, he's going to get a heavy dose of the ball. I called this guy out last week. It's one of my matchup plays last week, and he didn't disappoint me. And I'm going to call him out again today because I think he's going to be able to do a little bit today. And that's Andrew Quarles, the tight end, the obscure tight end that took over for JerMichael Finley, and has been playing relatively well. Not crazy well, but I mean, he's been playing relatively well. I'm not going to hog all the players here. I'm going to pass it off to Rev Fantasy and his knowledge.
Hey, JT. You said it, man. I like this matchup. It's a nice matchup for Ben Roethlisberger. It's a nice matchup for Antonio Brown. And even a guy like Emmanuel Sanders, I think, can get going today against that Green Bay defense. But it all hinges around play action, Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, this matchup is a dream matchup for him because the run defense for Green Bay, it's a joke. And I think he could get going early. It's going to free up those guys for big paydays all around. A quick fact that, Le'Veon Bell, he's behind the top four rushers in the league. He's had the most touches since week four. So, like I said, I think Le'Veon Bell is going to get his touches today, and that'll continue to be a big payday for you. Same applies for Eddie Lacy. This guy is in the running, for Rookie of the Year. I think the defense for the Steelers has no answer for him either in a fantasy and in reality. It's a shame that Aaron Rodgers ain't playing, I just can't trust Matt Flynn. I can't do it. But if I had to pick one receiver from Green Bay that seems it deserves a look in your starting lineups, I think it's Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson, the yards might not be there today, but he finds the end zone a lot of times, and I like that matchup perspective. I just don't like the defenses on both sides. I think this could be a sloppy game just because of the weather, and I just don't trust it from a fantasy aspect. So that's all I have on this game. I'll hand off to Ricky.
I really am a Matt Flynn believer. I don't know why I just said that, but I am. He's the only one that can fit in this system other than Aaron Rodgers. And going against Pittsburgh in the snow, it's an even matchup because both of these teams, like you said, they play in the snow. So this is a very even matchup, but I'm giving it to Green Bay because I just feel as though the football gods right now, they're on their side, and they want Green Bay to mess around and bring back Aaron Rodgers so he can be hurt and not even play next season. That's why. So I think that they're going to win this game just for that aspect of him coming back next week to have that one divisional match to see who's going to win the division, and Aaron Rodgers will be back for that. But today, Eddie Lacy is going to show Pittsburgh why they should not have passed him up in the draft. Everybody's saying that, and it's true. They should not have passed him up. Eddie Lacy is going to win that Rookie of the Year. See, the boy is the truth. This guy is great. I love it. I always pick a rookie, and this dude, he's great. From Pittsburgh standpoint, Le'Veon Bell, he is good. He's the truth. I got to give it to him. I got to see how this game is going to play out just because of the snow. It may be one of those games like Philly had against Detroit 2 weeks ago, but I just think that Green Bay is going to tough this one out, even though neither defense is very good right now. It's definitely going to be a good running game. That sleeper pick of Corliss, I like that one. Him and Heath Miller, I think those are the two that's going to definitely surprise people today.
Okay. Let's move on to the next one, which it would be the Oakland Raiders versus the San Diego Chargers. Wow. Darren McFadden, I think, is supposed to be back in this game, if I'm not mistaken. But I still like Rashid Jennings in this. He can run on the San Diego Chargers. He's he's definitely a flex play, probably a low-end RB2, but definitely a flex play. The only other wide receiver, and after this one, I'm going to pass it off to Ref Fantasy to talk about whoever he wants to talk about in this matchup, is the one that's been the hot hand for the most part for the Raiders would be Rod Streeter. He's definitely a flex play. And you know what? Because of the amount of targets and touches that he's been getting, he's a low-end a low-end wide receiver, too, in my opinion, too. I see him definitely getting in the end zone and getting about 60 to 75 yards in this game. So with that being said, Red Fantasy.
Hey, I'm with you, man. You said it. We're talking about the Raiders, man. These guys are terrible, dude. I live out here in the Oakland area. These guys, you couldn't – they give tickets away, and no one wants to go to these games, man. So look, from a fantasy aspect, though, there is something to like, though, from the Oakland standpoint. They've been putting up points. Even though last week they got slacked, they gave up 56 points, but they scored 31. So there's something to like. So I like Rod Streeter in this. I like Rashad Jennings. I like Phillip Rivers. I like everyone on the San Diego side. And that's all I'm going to have to say about that. Go Chargers.
This game is just San Diego. That's all I have to say.
Okay. No problem. I can see where you guys are going, but there's no problem. New England at Baltimore. You know what? I have a hard time, and most people won't do this unless you got a really good alternative, playing Tom Brady in this game, because the simple fact is he's playing Baltimore in Baltimore, and they've had classic matchups, and I have my trepidations on what type of game Tom Brady's going to have this week. I definitely play Shane Vereen, especially if it's in a PPR league. I think he's going to show out. He's one of the main targets, and Danny Woodhead type of back that Tom Brady leans on. Julian Edelman versus Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman wins out hands down. He's definitely a wide receiver, too, in my opinion, because the fact is he's going to get the targets and targets equal opportunities, and he's definitely going to get that. Danny Amendola is maybe a flex option at best because I don't think he's going to get as many targets as Edelman because he's leaning on Edelman more. I think Aaron Dobson's supposed to be coming back, but I think he's a non-factor. Rev Fantasy.
Hey, like you said, man, Tom Brady's a tough guy you want to say put on the bench, but this might be the week where you might want to think about benching him and going with somebody else. I just don't like the matchup. The Ravens are good against running backs, though, so but I think Shane Vereen isn't your typical running back, so it's hard to match up against him. So there could be some fancy points for you there. Looking on the Patriots side, Julian Edelman, I think he's definitely worthy of a flex play this week. Joe Flacco's a very risky play this week, as well as Ray Rice. I just don't like their matchups. But I do like two guys on Baltimore's side, and that's Torrey Smith and Dennis Pitta. Torrey Smith has been coming on the last, 4 weeks, putting up 100-plus yards a game. And Dennis Pitta has come in and fit in nicely in the play-action play, and he's getting into the red zone. Besides that, I think the defenses could have will be solid, and there won't be much fantasy points going on in this game. I'll hand off to Rick.
If I think if Ray was still there, I would probably go with Baltimore. But at the same time, like you say, they still have classic matchups regardless, just because it's Baltimore and New England. And I'm probably on the side with Rev. I may bench Brady this week just because of that, because that defense has kind of found their identity. And they're fighting for that playoff spot. They are still the Super Bowl champs, so you got to give them respect on that note. And in a couple of my leagues, I've benched Brady multiple times this year anyway. So it wouldn't be nothing new to me. But sneaky play, I'm surprised you guys haven't said anything about Ridley. And I know Ridley hasn't looked like nothing, but at the same time, he's their back. So I still have to go with Ridley as the feature. Yeah, Shane Vereen's going to get out there and get his. Do not forget about Julian Edelman. This guy is why they went and got Amendola when you had Edelman sitting in your pocket to take the place of Wes Welker. Beyond me, but, hey, that's the Patriot organization. Edelman is that dude. He's that guy. He can play in the backfield. He can play the slot. Wherever you need him, he can play. I think Edelman and Amendola are going to be heavy plays today. Heavy plays. They get Aaron Dobson back, so that's going to take pressure off. As far as Baltimore goes, Jacoby. I hate to say Jacoby Jones because he's just not even a real receiver to me. But he's had a touchdown, and not one. But two of the past, I believe, it might be three of the past four, but I know two of the past three he's had a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And that's on the receiving side, not just special teams. So Jacoby is a burner, and they have nobody that can cover Jacoby Jones. So if you have room and you really do need a receiver, I would go get Jacoby because it seems like Torrey Smith has kind of been blanketed. Everybody's looking at him. So it will be raining today, so I think Baltimore can squeak it out, though, but that is Brady. Never want to go against the force.
Okay. All right. Now, I don't know if the NFL it has a pact with Santa Claus, but this 8:30 game is like a Christmas present to the fantasy football players, especially in the either in the semifinals or especially if you're in the Super Bowl. I'm talking about the Chicago Bears at the Philadelphia Eagles. One defense is absolutely horrible. The other defense is not that much better. And they have stars on both sides that can show out. Let me name just the one side that you should have in your lineup without hesitation. Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, and Matt Forte. And if you're hurting for or you're looking for, and it's for some reason he shouldn't be, but if he's on the waiver wire, Martellus Bennett. The Philadelphia Eagles have been historically weak against the tight end. That's why I include Martellus Bennett in this fantasy Christmas present. I'm going to pass off. He can talk about Philly. He can talk about the Bears, whatever he wants to talk about. But this is a classic, in my opinion, has all the makings of a huge shootout between these two offenses. Talk to me, Rev.
Hey, I'm with you, man, on this one. You said it right on the Chicago side. Jay Cutler, Matt Forte, Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, and even Marcellus Bennett should have big paydays today. On the Philly side, this is just like talking about the Washington-Dallas game. It should be a fantasy smorgasbord. Nick Foles, Deshaun Jackson, they all should be cashing in big money-wise. And the one guy I don't like, and I think he's starting to show his true colors, and that's Riley Cooper. I think he was getting – people underestimated this guy at the start of the year, as they should have. But he kind of maybe was playing with a chip on his shoulder. I think that's wore off, and teams have figured him out now and how to take him out of the equation. And I think with the emergence of the tight end position with Brent Celek and Zach Ertz. Yeah, with those two coming on, it's kind of taken away from Riley Cooper. So I really don't like Riley Cooper if you have him. Even though matchup kind of favors all offense in this game, I don't like Riley Cooper in this game. And stay away from both team defenses because they're horrendous. I'll hand off to Rick.
Rick, I got to cut you short because we only have a few minutes and I want to cover this last game. Falcons at the 49ers. You know, this is a really tough matchup for the Falcons. The only one I would go with is probably Tony Gonzalez and Roddy White. It's a tough play to play Matt Ryan or Steven Jackson here. Colin Kaepernick, Frank Gore, Vernon Davis, Michael Crabtree in a flex position are good plays. Talk to me, Rev Fantasy. We got less than 2 minutes.
Okay. Like you said, I really don't like anything Atlanta side of the ball. It's just a risky play. I think 49ers will be playing with a chip on their shoulder anyway to play for their playoff life. The last game at 6, so you know they're going to come in fired up. I like the defense in this game for San Francisco. I think the potential to get you a pick six is there. And one name that we haven't talked about on the side of the ball for San Francisco is Kendall Hunter. I think with Frank Gore, they've been running him into the ground. Kendall Hunter's been seeing an increased workload. I think Kendall Hunter, this could be a game where he could possibly get you a couple touchdowns in that red zone and maybe 100 yards just because I think